Oh, well.
We better tune in.
It's now turned on. And so the part that's new I will do, and I will go back and explain the other part. But somehow I managed to explain it in about 3 seconds when I'm not actually in the classroom. So it will be a quick explanation. Okay. I'm on too much cold medicine. That's basically what it boils down to. So we are now going to start looking at logic. Okay, we've looked at SQL, we're going to start looking at logic. And we've been looking at it kind of as we go along, because the queries are logic. But now we're going to kind of really focus on it. So what I want to do is click on the thing under week 6 that says practice exercise, and bring that up, and the recorder is on. So what I've got here is some pseudocode. Okay, pseudocode again. When we deal with logic, and logic is the hardest part of programming. Okay, writing the commands, once you get used to the language, isn't half bad. It's figuring out what commands you want to write, and that's the logic. Okay, as I've told classes before, there was a period a while ago where they actually decided to break up the programming job and have logic and coders. And that didn't last very long because it doesn't work. They're too intertwined. But when they were doing that, the logic people made the big bucks and the coders didn't, because the coding is the easy part. Figuring out the logic is the hard part. Figuring out what it is you need to accomplish and how you want to accomplish it. So what we're going to do here is we're going to follow this logic. And what we have in here is we have a condition, we have a loop, and we have most of the things that happen in programming. Because everything in programming can be handled with sequence, meaning boom, 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 do these instructions. Selection, which is an if statement that says, if this is true, do this, otherwise do that. And loops, which allow for repetition. Okay, I can do it over and over and over again. So we're going to start out, and I am defining 3 variables, or actually 4. First, num, and I'm saying it's got an initial value of 100. So that means I've set up an area in memory called first num, and I put 100 into that area in memory. Then I set up another area called second num, and I put a 5 in that. I think that's a 5. And then I put a third one up, which was third num, and I put a 12 in that. And then I broke Grosser rule and had an embedded space. Ooh, and that has 0. Okay, so minus whatever you want to take off my score. But at least I'm telling you about it. Down here, I didn't. The result and the result don't have a space. It was only up there that I, for some reason, managed to put a space in it. And it shouldn't be there, so get rid of that space. Okay, so now I'm asking a question. Because programming falls in sequence. Here, these 3 are declaring my variables. So I'm declaring my variables here. And here are the variables set up in memory. If you're writing a program, the variables are set up in memory, and they hang around for the duration of the program. And then when the program's over, they're not available anymore. Okay, because the program knew where in memory they were put. If you write machine language, you've actually got to come up with a specific address. But if you don't write machine language, the program keeps track of where it put things. So now I'm hitting the do loop, and I'm saying do while second num is less than or equal to third num. Is second num less than or equal to third num?
Yes.
Yes. 5 is less than 12, right? This isn't tricky. Believe what you read there, okay? It's asking, is 5 less than or equal to 12? Okay? And it is, so that means I enter the loop. This is a loop. Notice that the loop has an end down here, and we'll see how we handle that when we get there. So I enter the loop, and the first question is first num greater than 500? Is it? No. So what am I going to do?
Else.
I'm going to do the else. So what do I do to first num? I'm adding 100 to it, so it's now 200. And what am I doing to third num? I'm subtracting 1, so it's now 11, right? Then I hit the end of the if, and then I hit the end of the loop, which means, since it's a loop, I go back and try again. And I keep going back, and as long as the condition on the loop is true, I will enter the loop. So my condition is second num less than or equal to third num. So that's my condition on the loop. Okay, is second num less than or equal to third num? Ah, come on, somebody.
Yes.
Yes, 5 is less than 11, right?
Yes.
So that means I go into the if statement again. Is first num greater than 500?
No.
No. So I add 100 to first num, and I subtract 1 from third num. And the wonderful part about a computer is we're going to get bored out of our minds doing this. Okay? But computers don't get bored. So they can do it a gazillion times, and that's fine. Okay, so I finish the if statements, and I loop back again. Is second num less than or equal to third num? Yes.
Yes.
So I go in. Is first num greater than 500? No. So I do the else. And again, I add, and I subtract. That's the end of the if, the end of the loop. So I loop back and say, is second num still less than or equal to third num?
Yes.
Yes. So is first num greater than 400? 500?
No.
No. So I add 1 to it, 500. I add 100 to it, sorry about that. And I subtract 1 over here. So now I go back up. Is first num less than or equal to 8? Is 5 less than or equal to 8?
No. I mean it is, yes.
Yes. So I go into the loop. Is first num greater than 500?
No.
No, it's equal to 500, but it's not greater. So I take the else. And I've now got 600, and I've now got 7. 600 in first num and 7 in third num. So I loop back. Is second num less than or equal to third num?
Yes.
Yes. Is first num greater than 500? Yes. So what do I do?
Times first num by 2.
Okay. So I take first num and I multiply it by 2. So what does that give me? First num. Okay, and multiply it by 2, so that gives me 1,200. And then I say, okay, second num equals second num plus 1. So that becomes 6. That ends my if, and I go back up to the loop. Is 6 less than or equal to 7?
Yes.
Yes. So I go in, is first num greater than 500?
Yes.
So I multiply this by 2, and I add 1 to this. Okay? So now I go back up again. Is first num less than or equal to third num?
Yes.
They're equal. So I go in. Okay, I go into the loop. Is first num greater than 500?
Yes.
Yes. So I multiply that and get 4,800. And I add one to this. That's the end of the else. That's the end of the end. I go back. The loop is first num less than or equal to second num. Is first num less than or equal to third num? Sorry. Second num, I'll get it, yeah.
It's one of those things. It's different than the other one.
Yeah, right. Does it work? Is second num less than or equal to third num? There, we got it right.
Yes.
Woo! Huh. Okay, so now, what does that mean I do? I drop out of the loop. Because I keep doing that loop while the condition is true. So now I drop out of the loop and I pick up the next line, which says add first num, second num, and third num, and put it in the result. So what is the result going to be? 4,815. And then I said, okay, now display it. So I've got a screen or a paper or whatever, and I display 4,815 on it. Okay.
I think we're doing problem two on our own.
Yes. Okay, do problem two. You may work with the person next to you, or you can do it alone or whatever, but do problem two.
Yeah, that's kind of unfair for me.
Huh?
So it's kind of unfair for me.
Why?
Each person that I can work with right now is guaranteed to get it.
Okay, then you can work. You don't get to work with Eric anyway.
I've already done my due diligence already.
That's right.
So you wouldn't mind
something? Yeah.
I'll bet you $10 an hour.
And I wish I remembered the answer, but I don't.
Oh, I remember doing this one. It's a big number.
Yes, it is. This is the place where I like paper and pencil.
I know.
Every once in a while, paper and pencil is a good thing.
If there's more logic besides, I'll just code it up with everything to do it.
I'm
guess there's an ad here before the estate. Are you sure you do that? Because you're dropping down and doing one estate at a time. The purpose here is to see how if statements work and see how do loops work and all that. So kind of keep that in mind as you're doing it.
We did that one time. So far. The other way around.
Right.
Anybody got an answer?
What was that?
What do you think?
Very large.
1160.
Nope. You missed something somewhere. I don't know, but the 430 is right.
Which means you don't, this end is over. So you have to do it. Oh, it's, oh, we need one more time. Yeah. Nobody's looking out here.
Do you have questions, Eric and I are here.
No, you got too much, and there shouldn't be a point on it.
No.
So you went maybe too far or something, because it's a whole number.
You're well counting with 6. I want to hold it. 7 minutes.
At this point, we all should be appreciating computers. Because they get to do the calculation without making some callous mistakes. Yeah?
15,185?
Nope.
So we add
enough.
It is a 6-digit number.
Oh.
What? So like you're not getting a 6-digit number. Does a
decimal
count?
Huh?
Does a decimal point count?
No.
Okay.
There
should be a decimal point.
Yeah.
Let me guess your 4 about the 12.5?
Yeah.
What? I don't know. Apparently, my 4 is 12.5, which
is
apparently not
supposed to happen. Yeah, we did the same thing.
Which what?
The fourth number, somehow we got it down to 12.5.
Shouldn't happen.
Yeah, we realize that.
All of them stay whole numbers. All of them stay rather large whole numbers.
One piece again.
We will do it in a few minutes.
Okay. I got this number.
I think that's the right answer because
I do not believe so.
Well, the reason I think it's the right answer, that's the right answer.
Else 405, 330, 600. 25. It's three times. To get the 600, it's
That was the answer that I got the last time I did this.
If that gives you any help. We're going to run through it, but those are the numbers that I got when I did it in class last semester. So I'm assuming that I got the right answer and that I wouldn't have put it up there if I hadn't. But that's what I got. So you can kind of see where the different numbers went off. And as I said, we're going to do this in a minute.
Yeah. No, that's right. I just screwed up in my math.
Okay. That's the right answer?
Yeah, that's the right answer.
Good.
I did times 3 on the third number as opposed to times 2 on the third number.
Okay.
On the last time, and that's what screwed
Again, me. Why computers are wonderful. If they can do it once right, they'll do it every time right.
I added all at the end instead of multiplying.
Yes, that can do it.
Yeah.
Notice there is a multiply statement in the answer.
Oh, that's where he messed up.
Before you notice that.
I didn't just list your cards out right. I multiplied two in the middle, and I went, this is...
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Because multiply gets done before add. That's right. I mean, you don't have to do this very often, but the way after you've written a program, the way you figure out if it's right is you go and test it. And how you test it is putting numbers in and seeing what you come up with. Okay, so this is the problem. And we have first num, which is initialized at 25. And second num, which is initialized at 50. And third num, which is initialized at 75. And fourth num, which is initialized at 100, and count, which is initialized at 0, and work answer, which is initialized at 0, and the answer, which is initialized at 0. Okay? So, let's check. 25, 50, 75, 100, 0, 0, 0. Okay. So, I'm going to say here, do while count is less than 6. Count is less than 6, because it was initialized at 0. Next thing says, work answer equals first num plus second num. So, work answer becomes 75, right? First answer plus second answer. Then I said, okay, if work answer is greater than third num, is work answer greater than third num?
No.
No. Okay, so what does that mean I do?
You do the else.
I do the else. Okay, because 75 is not greater than 75, so I do the else. And the else says, take first num and increase it by 10. Take second num and increase it by 10. And take third num and increase it by 10. Then I end the if, and what do I do next? Not yet.
Oh, work answer is.
Add one to count. Okay? And if I don't add one to count, I'm never going to get out of this.
You'd be an infinite loop.
That's right. Because count is controlled by that add. And count is controlling the loop. So the loop says, keep going while count is less than 6. If I don't add one to count, it stays 0 forever, which means the loop goes forever. Because it is always going to be less than 6. So that's critical. And I can't tell you how many times people mess that up. I remember when I was first programming, somebody came out of the area where the printer was and handed me a pile of paper this big, and every single piece of paper said the same thing on it because I hadn't controlled the loop and I hadn't moved on to the second thing because I hadn't added one to count. So I had about, 200 papers all saying exactly the same thing. Okay? Embarrassed a little. So, anyway, that's what happens when you don't do that. So I added one to count, and now I'm looping back. And I'm saying, is count less than 6? Yes, it is. Add first num and second num and put them in work answer. So I now have a 95 here, right? 60 and 35 are first num and second num. If I make a mistake, it's your job to tell me. Okay, so I'm now saying, is 95 greater than 85?
Yes.
Hmm? Yes.
So that means I'm going to do the stuff in the if. So the first thing it says is take fourth num, divide by 2, and put it back into fourth num. So I'm saying take fourth num, divide by 2, and assign it back to fourth num. And that's why that is an assignment sign and not an equal sign. Because fourth num does not equal fourth num divided by 2. It just doesn't do it. They're not equal. It's an assignment sign. So I'm saying take fourth num, divide it by 2, and assign it back to fourth num. So fourth num started out at 100. I divided it by 2, and I put the answer back in fourth num. I assigned it back. Okay? A lot of these principles are in your book. A lot of these principles are floating around, but we're actually doing them now, which hopefully makes them make more sense. Okay, now I'm saying do what to first num?
Multiply it by 3 and assign it back to first num.
So what should I put in first num?
105.
And then the next line says, okay, take first num, subtract second num from it. So that's 105 minus 60, which is 45. And put it back in second num. So take 105, subtract 60, that gets me 45, and put it here in second num. Right? Take and do the subtract and assign it to second num. And then on the last one, I said take third num, multiply it by 2, and put it back into third num. So this becomes what? 170. Okay, then I end the if, and I go down, and I add 1 to count. So count is now up to a 2. And then I loop back, and I say, okay, is count less than 6? Yes, it is. Work answer equals first num plus second num. So what am I putting in work answer?
150.
Again, you got it right. Tell me if I make a mistake along the way. Okay, so now I'm saying, is work answer greater than third num? No. So what do I do?
You add 10 to the first, second, and third number.
So 115, 55, and 180, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what do I do?
Add 1 to count.
Add 1 to count. And then I loop back. Is count less than 6?
Yes.
Yes. So now I come in and I say, okay, first num plus second num is what? What's first num plus second
num?
170. 170. So I'm putting that in work answer, right? Work answer equals first num plus second num, right? So it's going into work answer. Then I'm saying, is work answer greater than third num? No. So what am I going to do?
Add 10 to
this, to first num, to second num, and to third num. Okay? Then I drop out and I add 1 to count. We're getting close to the end. Okay, so now I go back up. Is count less than 6? Yes, it is. So I'm now going to add first num and second num, and what am I getting?
190.
And putting it into work answer. And then I'm saying, is 190 greater than third num?
No.
No. Okay, it's not greater, so what am I doing?
Adding 10.
So I'm at 135. 75 and 200. Okay? So I'm now adding 1 to count. and that I'm going. Is count less than six?
Yes.
Work answer is first num plus second num, so what is it?
210.
Okay. Is 210 greater than third num?
Yes.
So I am taking fourth num, dividing it by 2, which gets me to 25, and putting it back into fourth num. Then I am taking first num and multiplying it by 3, which gets me what?
405.
And then I'm taking first num minus second num, so 405 minus 75 is 330, right?
Yep, correct.
And I'm putting that where? In the second num, so that's a 330. And then I'm saying take third num and multiply it by 2?
Yeah.
And put it into third num, so that goes up to 400. And I drop out, and I add 1 to count, and it's now a 6. So I go back, and it says, do while count is less than 6. It's no longer less than 6. So therefore, what do I do?
Stop.
I stop the loop, and I go down and do the calculation. And what do I do in the calculation?
Well, it's second num and third num.
Right. So I've got 330, and I multiply it by 400, and that gets me 132,000. And then I add in first num, which is 405, and I add in fourth num, which is 25. And so I get 132,430. And that becomes the answer. And so when I display it on a screen or paper, I've got 1, 3, 2, 4, 3. Yes, no, maybe?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing it right. I just, at the end, I went across. So
okay.
I added first and then multiplied.
All right. So then you multiplied by the wrong things.
Yeah.
So that, a lot of people do that. So you got to remember the order of mathematics, the hierarchy.
Multiplications are done before addition and subtraction. Multiplication and division is done before addition and subtraction.
So if I add parentheses, that's okay?
It's okay if you wanted to put parentheses in, yes.
That's what made it pretty funny.
Yeah. If you can put, it doesn't need any parentheses because it follows the order of operations. And so powers are done first, then multiplication, division, then addition and subtraction. If you like to clarify it, you can put parentheses in. To clarify it. Yes, somebody over there had a question.
If it's less than, does that mean like it's not less than or equal to? That's the part that threw me.
Yes, less than is strictly that, less than. Less than or equal to means it can also match.
Because it was do the OT, like under, or do the count when it's under 6, and then when you got to 6, you stopped.
That's right, because I didn't say equal to 6. I said do it while count is less than 6.
So 6 equals 6?
Yes. Okay. Right. No, six is not less than six. 5 is less than six. 5.99999 is less than six. But 6 is not less than six. So if I had written here less than or equal to, the way I did up here, less than or equal to, then it would have done one more round.
Yeah,
which was what we did. Yeah, so if this had said less than or equal to like that, then it would have done it when it was equal to 6.
But it didn't. It just said less than. And 6 is not less than 6. So there's just a lot of things to remember as you do this. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, close the inquiry. Please. Thank you. Okay, we're going to now look at practice continued. Okay. So, in the real world, the main reason that I have computer programs is to process data. Okay, I'm not usually just doing a calculation. Sometimes a scientist does. Sometimes there's a whole program written just to do calculations. But usually there's data involved. Even when you're doing complex calculations, you've got data. So I set up a file of data. Okay? Now, a file is a standalone thing. It's similar to a table in the database, but a table tends to be part of the database, while a file is a standalone thing. And in the real world, they mainly use tables and databases, but you use files occasionally for quick and dirty things. And if you just want to do something fast. They're also a lot easier to handle, which is why we're looking at a file. So, my top row really isn't part of the file. It's just a header that tells you what's in the columns. So it's not really part of the file. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4 records in the file. Okay, there's 4 records in the file. And the last line says EOF, which stands for end of file. Okay? And when you write a file to a disk or wherever you write it to, the computer puts in its own symbol to indicate it's at the end. And that's what I'm looking for. End of file tells me it's at the end. So now what I've got is I've got a loop where I said read the pay record. So that means that first read is going to read the first record. Okay, guys, my turn. That first read is going to read the first record. And then I said, do the loop while not end of file. So that means when it reads that line that says end of file, it will stop. So I'm doing it until that end of file marker is encountered. So I read and I have not hit end of file, so I asked the question, is overtime hours greater than zero? And on that first record, the answer is yes. Overtime hours is 10. So now I do a calculation. Okay, so I'm going to have in memory a place called regular pay. I'm going to have a place called overtime pay. And I'm going to have a place called total pay. So I said, okay, if overtime hours is greater than zero, it is, then I want to calculate regular pay. And regular pay is pay per hour times regular hours. 20 times 40 is what? 800. So regular pay is going to be 800. Okay? And then I said, okay, now overtime pay is pay per hour, which is 20, times overtime hours, which is 10, times time and a half. So that's what?
300.
That's 300. Okay. And then I said, okay, total pay is adding these two together, so it is 1,100. Then I said, okay, now display total pay. So here's a piece of paper or a screen or whatever, and I'm displaying 1,100. Now, in fact, I probably should have displayed the person's name, too, so I knew who got paid $1,100. But I didn't say that. I just said, display the total pay. And then the next thing I said is, okay, now read another record. Okay. This first read up here is what your book calls the initializing read.
because it reads the first record. All other records are read from here because I process and then I read. I process and then I read. I process and then I read. So I got the initializing record, I processed it, and then I read the next one. So right now, the one that's sitting in memory is the second record. So I come in, it's not in a file. Is overtime hours greater than zero? No. The Amy Costa, Ann Costa, overtime hours are zero. So she didn't earn any overtime. So I then take the else. And I say, okay, take her pay per hour, which is 25, multiply it by the hours she worked, and I come up with what?
1,000.
So that's what she earned, and then I say, display that 1,000. And then I read the next record. So I go back up here and I read the third record. And it's Linda Ryan. Okay, so I go in, is it end of file? No. And then I do the calculations. Is overtime hours greater than zero? Yes, it is. So what is Linda's regular pay? What?
$1,200.
What is her overtime pay?
Zero.
No.
Wait, no, no, no. Oh, you're on the third one. My bad. 30 times 20. So that's what? 600. Yeah.
And times 1.5 because it's time and a half.
900.
So it's 900. So what's her pay?
2,100.
2,100. And I
calculate mass tax, so she probably gets like around 1,500.
And now I read the next record, because we are ignoring him. Okay, so I now hit the do loop. It's not end of file. Is overtime hours greater than zero? Yes. What's Bob's regular pay?
35 times 30.
1,050.
Okay.
I did that right.
I think he did. 900 plus.
Yeah, it's 1,050.
And what is overtime pay for Bob?
450.
And so what's total pay for him?
1,500,
I think I heard somebody say.
Yep.
And then I write 1,500. And at that point, I go back again, and I read, and I get that end of file, so I stop. I'm done. Because I said, do while, not end of file. So when I read that end of file, and I check the do loop, it says, you've hit end of file, you're done. Yeah.
How did you get 300 for overtime pay on the first one?
10 times 20 is 200 times 1.5. 200 times 1.5 is 300. I'm giving them time and a half. Okay. So this is the logic that I went through in reading a file. And again, the wonderful thing about computers is if there are 100,000 records on there, it does them all the same way. It doesn't get tired. It doesn't get callous. If it can do it once, it can do it forever. That's true, too. But it lives in a nice air-conditioned room, probably. Okay.
That's true.
Questions? Or heated room, depending on the season. Okay, questions? Okay, your assignment.
Yeah.
your assignment. Is to do this logic assignment. Okay.
So, on the first ones, I gave you some choices so that if you don't get one of these, you know you got it wrong. Okay? But basically, you're going to go through and do these. And then down below, I have, I think, one that has a flowchart. So this one is saying on the flowchart, read the record, do the initialize and read. If it's not in the file, do the routine called check. Okay, when you put it in a rectangle with double lines like that, that says go out and do the routine. And when you're done, come on back. Okay, in pseudocode, I can do the same thing. In pseudocode, when I wanted to go do a routine, I said, go do the routine called calculate to order. And when you're done, come on back and continue. So this is as if this code was pasted in there. Because it's saying, go do it. When you're done, come back. And the reason for doing that is if you have a big program, you don't want it all in one great big thing. You want to break up different parts of it and put them in different places. And so when I do it in pseudocode, I say, go do calculate to order, and I usually put two parentheses after it to tell it that it's a subroutine or procedure. And then I come down here and say that's what it is. And when I'm done, I hit a return, I go back, and then I do the display. So it's as if that code was pasted in there, but instead it's in a separate routine. And in the flowchart, come on, you can do it. In the flowchart, I'm saying here, if it's not in the file, go on, go do that. When you come back, read another record, and then loop. And this is how I draw a loop. Okay? And the check that I'm going and doing is down on the next page. So I come in on check, and I ask a bunch of questions. And when it says return, that means go back to where you were called from. And when you go back, the next thing says, read another record. Okay? So, experiment with these. Try to come up with the answers. And I will let you know whether you succeeded or not. Pardon me?
No,
week from Thursday. Everything is due a week from Thursday. Everything is due a Thursday of the following week. Are you hanging around today or not?
That
honest?
Yeah. It's not easy. I'm fine.
I was going to say,
I take medication all day. Yeah, quite sleepy tomorrow morning.